Now, the Medrash commented yesterday in Parshas Bereishis that the Malachim they had a dispute whether or not man should be created. Some said they should be created. Some said they shouldn't be created. Chesed said, "Create man. After all, he'll be Gomel Chesed. He'll do many acts of kindness." Emes said, "Don't create man. Man speaks falsehood." Tzedek, righteousness, said, "Create man. After all, he acts righteously." Shalom said, "Do not create man, for man is full of strife, full of arguments." In the end, we know what happened. Man was created. But even though Emes and Shalom don't come naturally to us, perhaps, as we know, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Kayam, the world is sustained through three principles: Al Emes, Al Hadin, Al Shalom. Through truth, through justice, and through peace. And the basin of America, Batidin in general, the goal is to be able to pursue and to be able to achieve these values. And they provide us with a forum and a system through which to achieve these values, and for all the litigants to feel, by the end of the day, that MS, Din, and Shalom have been achieved. So it's wonderful to be able to bring the Beis Din to our community, to be able to learn more about the Beis Din. Without further delay, I'd like to introduce Rabbi Weissman to begin the seminar this morning.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Stavsky. Thank you, Rabbi Stavsky, and thank you to the Beis Medrash of Bergenfield for hosting us. And also, I'd like to extend a great thank you to the community of Bergenfield and Teaneck for hosting us this past Shabbos. We had a beautiful program where we sent speakers. Rabbi Rapp and Rabbi Reese and myself spoke in a number of the shuls over Shabbos, and it was really very nice. I also want to mention the great appreciation we have for our partner in this program, the Orthodox Union, and specifically I'd like to welcome Emmanuel Adler this morning, the chair of the Community Engagement Commission of the Orthodox Union, as well as Paul Glasser, the director of institutional advancement at the OU, and Rabbi Judah Isaacs, who is the director of community engagement at the OU. It's a pleasure to team up with such a great, obviously, organization and group of people and present this COE seminar this morning. Before I introduce Rabbi Rapp, I'm going to keep my comments brief so we can sort of catch up with the schedule and try to get as much in as possible this morning before 11:15. Let me just go through, and if you have course materials in front of you, you could flip the pages with me, to briefly introduce what it is that we do at the Beth Din of America. I'll just take you for a few minutes through the typical timeline of a case, a commercial case, as it goes through the pipeline of the Beth Din of America that ultimately results in a hearing, in a Din Torah, that allows us to adjudicate the case. So typically, when we're talking about a case, we're talking about a plaintiff and a defendant, a toveya and a nitba, a claimant and a respondent. And so the claimant, the plaintiff, will contact us, and they might have initial questions about the process, and we're always happy to explain the process to people, either myself, Alana Blass, who's also on the staff of the Beth Din. She's the administrative attorney, and she handles the Besdin's caseload. She's also here this morning, and we'll be hearing from her a little later. But ultimately, in order to begin the process formally, you have to go onto our website, bethdin.org, and you'll download an application to open a case in the Beth Din, which is the first page in the handout. And that basically asks for just basic contact information, and it also asks you to attach a claim letter, a brief statement that describes what your claim is. It could be as brief as the claim letter that you'll see on the next page. We then attach that claim letter to a hazmana. Once we've reviewed the file and determined that this is an appropriate file for a case that could be adjudicated by the Beth Din in an arbitration, we will send a hazmana, a summons, to the defendant. The summons, a copy of a sample summons, these are all fake names. Just to give you an example of what one might look like, you'll see that on the opposite page, opposite the application, where we simply say, we've been contacted by the plaintiff, they've asked us to summon you to a Din Torah. Attached is a copy of the claim letter, which briefly describes the claim, and asks the defendant to respond within about 14 days from the date of the hazmana. The list of potential responses are contained in the rules and procedures in section 2, which talks about essentially how you can respond. The person could respond, they could not respond at all, in which case they'll get a second follow-up hazmana. And ultimately, if there's no response or no proper response at the end of the day, we could potentially issue a seiruv against the individual. And a copy of the seiruv, or what a seiruv looks like, and the cover letter is on the next pages. The seiruv simply says that the person has failed to comply with his halachic obligations to appear in front of Beis Din. The Torah says that Beis Din has the authority to issue a seiruv. The Torah says that the Shulchan Aruch says that an individual has an obligation as a matter of halacha to appear in front of a Beis Din. Now, they don't have to appear in front of our Beis Din necessarily, and under the rules and procedures, and as a matter of halacha, they can simply respond that they're prepared to appear in front of a different Beis Din. If that happens, then what we do is we contact the plaintiff. We tell the plaintiff that the defendant has opted for a different Beis Din, and give the plaintiff the opportunity to go to that Beis Din. If both of them agree to go to that alternative Beis Din, then we're out of the picture, and they go and ultimately sign an arbitration agreement with that other Beis Din and hopefully adjudicate their case there. But if not, if the defendant agrees to come to the Beis Din of America, the next step is for us to send out an arbitration agreement. What's known in halacha as a shtar berurin, that's a legal document that binds them to the arbitration. And under the applicable arbitration statutes and under the Federal Arbitration Act as well, once parties have signed the arbitration agreement, we can hear the case. We will then schedule a hearing. We will gather evidence, accept testimony, accept the presentation of each of the parties, typically in front of a panel of three dayanim. The rule of thumb under our rules and procedures is that if the amount in controversy is less than $10,000, then it goes in front of one dayan, a dayan yichidi. But if it's more than $10,000, the default rule is that it goes in front of a panel of three dayanim, unless the parties otherwise agree. Parties can agree that even if their amount in controversy is more than $10,000, they could agree, for example, to go in front of one dayan or vice versa. And the dayanim are selected typically by us, by the administration of the Beis Din, from a pool of dayanim. We have about 12 to 15 active dayanim. We'll be hearing from some of them later this morning. But we try to get a mix on the panel of the requisite expertise for the particular case. That means in any commercial case, it's most likely at least one of the dayanim is going to be an attorney or a business person with expertise or with experience in the marketplace. And that's important because ultimately we are assessing facts about what sometimes are complicated commercial transactions. And as Rabbi Rapp mentioned Friday night, if you hope to get the answer right, you need to understand the question. And so it's helpful and almost necessary for at least some of the members of the panel to be people with business or legal expertise so that they can wade through the facts and understand what the controversy is about, understand what the issues are, halachic and legal issues that need to be decided. Ultimately, the panel that hears the evidence and hears the testimony of witnesses and whatever other presentations the parties make will convene and will consider the case and issue a written determination. We try as much as possible for the written determination not just to be the bottom line, X owes Y, X number of dollars, but a reasoned decision that gives insight to the parties as to why the panel arrived at the decision they did. That's important. Just because people should walk away from the system thinking that they've been heard and that there was a reasoned and not arbitrary decision made. And that decision ultimately is enforceable in court if the party who is ordered to do something or to pay doesn't comply with the decision. They're obligated as a matter of secular law to comply, and enforcement is obtainable through the civil courts. Thing I'll also mention, if you turn to the next page, you'll see a sample arbitration provision. Sometimes our jurisdiction is obtained not through an arbitration agreement that's signed after a controversy has already arisen, but rather because an arbitration provision is already included in a contract that the parties entered into at the time that they began their relationship or began the transaction. And so sample arbitration language is here. It's also available on our website. We strongly recommend that you include these kinds of provisions in your contracts. Because once there's already a dispute, things become a little hairy, and people are not necessarily cooperative and are not necessarily on the same page. And there are all sorts of litigation tactics, as we all know, that could be employed. And it's unlikely, or less likely, I should say, that there will be agreement at that stage on a specific Besdin, and that everyone will just show up willingly to that Besdin. If you have an arbitration provision at the beginning, in the original contract, then that means that we have arbitration authority from the very start. Under the statutes, we can actually compel the parties to appear, or the courts can compel the parties to appear. We could issue a default judgment if someone doesn't appear. We actually have authority on that basis without any problem, without all the ins and outs of the Hazmana process where people might not be so willing to appear in front of Besdin. So that, in a nutshell, is the process at the Besdin. The two speakers who we're going to be hearing from are going to be talking about, first of all, Rabbi Danny Rapp will be speaking about the prohibition of litigating in secular court, which is sort of the very starting point for why it is that we have Batei Din to begin with. And Rabbi Rees, who will be here shortly, will be speaking about the important issue of the role of secular law in our process, because very often, as you'll hear, we will employ secular law to determine in our decision making, if that's the expectation of the parties at the time of the transaction. We'll be hearing more from Rabbi Rees about that, and then after that, we'll have a question and answer session with Alana Bless and myself.